Come, Holy Spirit. Be the divine editor of this message that, well, my word may be spoken, only your word may be heard. Amen. So you will want the Hebrews reading available and the Luke reading available. So if you have your pew Bibles in the New Testament, it's page 177 for the Hebrews 13, 1 through 8. And the Luke reading was Luke 14. And we'll read about verses 7 through 14. That's page 59. And I bring that up because we're kind of doing a soft open or a teaser trailer for what's coming up, really starting full swing next week, which is we're going to be doing a series. Instead of having a set theme, we're going to be reading through the lectionary. If you've ever wondered what and how we get these readings on Sunday morning, we get it from a table in the back of the prayer book. And so with the new Anglican Book of Common Prayer 2019, we're going to be following that for this season, at least until about Advent. But so instead of a prompted theme, you will have the readings, and you can read them before you come to church, and you can have that in your mind, and we'll see with the gifts of the many preachers we have in this congregation where those readings will lead us. It'll be mostly in Luke, as you'll see if you go in the Book of Common Prayer 2019, and you'll see some of that on social media and in your emails this coming week. But it's Labor Day, which means it's supposed to be a low Sunday, and yet we are full because you Adventers are faithful. So that is a good problem to have. So, as many of you know, I am a military chaplain, and so I was at a change of command this week. We were saying goodbye to a senior officer. He had served for a few years, and so because he was a senior and because he was going on to another job, you know, we had a farewell for him, and there were many of the offices in our workspace were giving him gifts. So after about 30 minutes of everyone telling this senior leader how great he was, right? he had a chance to speak, and he started out by saying, "I've been so humbled by this." He was a good leader. He earned all those good acclamations, but he started out with, "I'm so humbled." And I find that a kind of an odd thing. I don't know if you've ever thought of that, but when you see a sports champion, you know, get their trophy, "I'm so humbled," or like someone who's at the Oscars, sometimes that's how they might start out their speech. "I'm so humbled by this honor." And I wonder if it's a little bit of a fear or an echo or a tease of this passage from Luke about, you know, pride comes before the fall. Like even when you're up on the pedestal and you've earned it, you're still like, "Oh, you know, I'm so humble." I don't know if what you think of that. But I think it resonates with us, at least in the Western world, we like a good, like, rise up kind of story. I mean, it's in our country's mythos, right? We're a loose little band of colonies on the east coast of North America, and we rebelled against the most powerful imperial military yet known to man at that point. And we won, right? We love that story. We love the story of a man who had just barely two pennies to rub together and started a corporation, right, and took on and invest and worked hard. We like this frontiersman here out here in Colorado. We like this idea that we can come out and we can invest and we can work hard and gain prominence. And we celebrate it even here at Labor Day, the fact that hard work, you know, gets you a three-day weekend in September, right? Hard work, yeah. You know, I think of today, does anybody know what Dude Perfect is? Dude Perfect? Yeah. Anyone with kids about my age have an idea? Yeah, maybe. So these are college students 10 years ago, and they figured out they could do trick shots in the backyard. They were at Texas A&M. So, hey, I can do one over the head. And 10 years ago, they started that. Now they have like a factory of doing all kinds of sports, trick shots, and humor videos on YouTube. Right, their net worth is about $20 million, and they were doing a tour this summer like rock stars. And I know that because my kids pestered me to go, and we went. And I spent, Lord have mercy, too much money on it. And it's one of those, like, YouTube, anyone's getting famous and rich on YouTube, I wish I had thought of that, right? So besides of our own mythos, it's actually in our favorite kinds of fiction, right? Like the Star Wars movies, the Skywalker saga. Right, you have Anakin, and you have Luke, and now you have Darth Rey. Did you see this latest teaser trailer with two red lightsabers? Anybody? Oh, okay. Well, I'll leave that over there then. Okay, well, that's what you get to YouTube when you get home. Anyway, it's the idea of these nothing kids from the middle of a desert on a no-name planet who very quickly become galactically significant, powerful figures. That's the Star Wars story, right? Or I like the Matrix, this idea of the loser hacker, right, Mr. Anderson, right, but he's actually Neo, the actual savior of the world, right? Or Harry Potter, right? It's not American, so you'll have to forgive me, right? But stay with me. So this ostracized orphan living in the cupboard under the stairs, right? But he's actually a secret wizard in reality. He's taking on the evil master wizard, a little bit of a savior complex there too. We eat this stuff up. We root for the underdogs, the Cinderella stories. We like the lowly being raised up. Even better when that narrative comes from a false lowliness. You have greatness inside of you. Yeah, we want to be told that. Luke, be a Jedi like your father. Take the red pill, Neo, and see how far the rabbit hole goes. Harry Potter, legend going into Hogwarts on the first day, right? But do we like being lowly to begin with? No, not really. We like these stories because they're another story to glory. We want to be exalted. But do we trust God enough to really go low? Do we trust him not to strive? Do we trust him not to strive? Or maybe we'll just go for like a high middle just to be safe, right? I mean, I don't need a private jet or anything, right? But I got to watch my net worth just to be on the safe side. And if you're going to call me middle class, please emphasis on the upper middle class, right? Thank you very much. As if you know the name Dave Ramsey, you know, one of his common phrases is you got to live like no one else before you can live like no one else. So you got to have the rice and beans before the steak and lobster. Yet he's also quick to remind, if you follow his baby steps, that if you're trying to get rich, the point of being financially independent is to give lavishly and sacrificially in order that you don't trust in your own resources, but in God's gifts. And if you cannot tithe while you're doing the baby steps, do not call his radio show. But yeah, anyway. This passage from Luke is about divine order and righteous humility. Humility and trust. Not just the low being made high, but the high being made low. Jesus is reminding these powerful, self-righteous Pharisees who want to bring in the latest rabbi in the context of a meal that in the divine banquet, God expects abundant humility from the guests, but also abundant charity from the hosts. Jesus lives it through the gospel story. It's just like in his life itself, it's a reflection of heaven. And if you're trying to imitate it or replicate it or live into heaven, well then act accordingly. The odd thing about this Luke passage is that it is simply good advice, even in the earthly sense. Hey dude, if you want to avoid being humiliated, please wait to be seated. Better to be brought up than take it down. It was in Proverbs. It's good advice, right? If you want to avoid embarrassing pride and arrogance, then just, you know, mind your place. Even our friends who don't love Jesus will say, oh, yeah, that's pretty good advice. Cool. And we can leave it there and move on comfortably. Except Jesus says that this is a parable. And so we got to stop and we got to see what is the deeper message. So we notice the jostling for position. It happens amongst the Pharisees here, right? And also later happens on with the sons of Zebedee, James and John, who's going to be at the right hand at the left in the kingdom, lest we think the 12 are too holy. Jesus corrects us with a simple, seemingly simple, those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. It's a nice piece of advice, but it quickly becomes an ominous warning. If we notice we are ever comforted by our own achievements or our own status, if we ever take pride or even our divine worth from anything about us, that can be the storm cloud that blots out the sunlight of God's abundant generosity. If you ever are resting in your own self-worth or your divine worth about your own self, that can be the storm cloud that blots out the abundant generosity of God's sunlight. As I was reading in N.T. Wright this week, N.T. Wright, gotta get some of that. If I reckon that I deserve to be favored by God, not only do I declare that I do not need his grace, mercy, and love, but I imply that those who don't deserve it really shouldn't have it either. End quote. It's why if you ever feel yourself better than somebody else, then you need to take stock of that. Hey, at least I'm not a murdering rapist. Well, then you have that self-righteousness to repent of. Hey, I'm going to surrender my white privilege. Well, okay, that is true in some contexts, culturally and socioeconomically. There's some validity there. But even when we claim that privilege too strongly, then you're already setting yourself apart and above. And it can be, it doesn't need to be, but it can be a shield to deeper humility. Hey, at least I'm not sexually immoral and adulterous or greedy and all the other sad things that were in the middle part of that Hebrews reading. And you can hear a well-warranted critique on the sexual anarchy in our culture, in our inclusion culture. But please, also, hear louder the gospel inclusion and who we're supposed to remember in the verses right preceding it. We are called to remember our brothers and sisters in prison. Lest we're tempted to be prideful in our righteousness, we're called to remember those being tortured for the faith. There are Christians who are being mistreated in Syria and in Iraq and in North Korea and in secret parts of our own country and at the border of our country. And that should affect us if they are part of the same body of Christ as we are. So even if your marriage bed is undefiled, let that be an occasion for thanksgiving that reaches out in love and concern for others. It's a great part of the prayers in the 1979 marriage service. Do not use it for an occasion of self-congratulations or looking down upon those who might be divorced or might have promiscuity or someone who lived through an abortion who come to this church seeking Christ's love and forgiveness. Sometimes it's the most righteous of us that need repentance the most. Sometimes it's the most righteous of us that need repentance the most because that is how we seek the lowly Christ in the Gospels. That's how we seek the lowly Christ in the Gospel. Augustine says, I saw it come through my Facebook feed just recently, the church is not a museum for saints. It is a hospital for sinners. This is why the founding fathers of our faith, the 12, they were given the foot washing before they were given the Eucharist. It's as if Jesus is saying, you have to get this low to find me if you want to receive me and in order to share me. Jesus' mission is to break through that storm cloud of sin and even self-righteousness to reveal the fresh, healing sunshine of God's love and righteousness that will endure forever. That will find us in those shadows that seem so comfortable, but where there is no life. God is seeking us in whatever shadow we may be finding comfort in. Notice that Jesus says, when you give banquets, when you give banquets, this is part of the Christian life. Feasting is as much as a part as fasting in the Christian life. In case you ever wanted a scriptural warrant for the eternality of the potluck, it's right there. And you know, Advent is good at this. Just last month, there was that August outreach to the picnics in the park, went to the evening, and the movie Coco was shown. And we have another opportunity coming in a week, right, with the last picnic. Are you inviting your friends to that? Are you inviting people who may not even come to church on Sunday morning? Are you inviting them to the park? We are actually pretty good at looking beyond ourselves with weekly prayer for this neighborhood and praying for our sister church, Grand Pastor. But in every good step we take, may we also ask Jesus to bring us lower so we can find him and follow him ever deeper. Because Advent, you see, you already know this. You already know this. This is part of the Christian life. And you're seeking to take this parable beyond prudent social humility. This is about losing ourselves in order to find Jesus. You see, our call is not to emulate the kings of this world, self-aggrandizing politicians and celebrities who bask in their own greatness, even if we like their policies or enjoy their art. leadership, as mentioned in that later part of that Hebrews passage, that leadership that the author is talking about were the apostles and the earliest bishops, not magistrates and emperors. Because by the time the Gospel of Luke was first read, emperors were burning Christians like candles and feeding them to lions for entertainment. And so consider that outcome. Consider that faith. Imitate that faith is what we hear from this letter to the Hebrews. An even earlier example, John the Baptist, right? Jesus said that there is no man born of woman greater than he. John says, I must decrease in order for Jesus to increase. And yet, Jesus also says that John is least in the kingdom of heaven. It's Matthew 11:11. So each of you baptized in the death and resurrection of Jesus are greater than John the Baptist in the kingdom of heaven. So how low can you go? Not that John is bothered, because heaven is about making much of Jesus anyhow, which means we're not called to emulate the kings of this world, but the king who laid aside his crown and took up the towel and shared a meal and took up his cross and his crown of thorns. The Luke passage finishes up with, you will be repaid in the resurrection. And it seemed to resonate with that first hymn we sang. Repaid? Repaid how? How can we repay Jesus, God entering into and conquering death? We're not just talking about a get into heaven free card, as if Jesus were just another get saved quick scheme, or another glory seeking enterprise, or just another low being made high story like our favorite fictions, like the Skywalkers or Neo or Harry Potter. This goes back for just one instance to like Luke 6, where we're told not to be societally polite like other sinners, but to give abundantly, to offer our shirt when someone steals our cloak. Because this is about being merciful like our Father is merciful. This is about becoming more like God and stepping into God's work of redeeming this world. This is another call to imitation of God. And our vision of God is God the Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who before entering the throne of the cross, humbled himself and washed the mud and the dung off his friends' feet. This is how we can truly pray Psalm 112. We will never be shaken, we who put our trust in the Lord, if we give freely to the poor. Because all we have is gift anyway, right? Even your very next breath. Sure, we have a responsibility to be good stewards of our talents, of our gifts, our resources, but we have no right to hoard them, especially as our poor neighbors and our brothers and sisters in Christ perish around the world. So, it's not very uplifting, but even if you die sick, naked, and alone, even then, Christ did not leave you or forsake you. And he will not leave us or forsake us, no matter our circumstances. Because when we are repaid in the resurrection, in the abundant grace of following Jesus into the city of the wedding feast of the Lamb, with the tree of life at the center, we will see there that all the pride and the fear of this world will be replaced with gratitude and trust. That's laying down and casting aside our crowns. That's low being made high. And Jesus tells us that we're to practice that now. It's through that gospel humility that we will seek Christ, that we will find Christ, and we will share Christ with this neighborhood and with this world that needs the light of Christ. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.